While we may have celebrated Veterans Day this week, for the people who have served our country, Veterans Day is every day. And it sometimes comes with more than accolades and patriotic music. Many veterans face challenges when transitioning back to civilian life, including mental health struggles, physical disabilities, and a lack of support in reintegrating into society. But there are organizations to help. The Shea Center is dedicated to helping these heroes by offering equine-assisted therapy, which has been shown to improve emotional well-being, reduce anxiety, and build trust. This approach helps veterans regain confidence and reconnect with themselves and others. At UCLA, there's another option. That's where the Veterans Garden blooms as a peaceful sanctuary where veterans can relax and heal amidst nature. They can also see their efforts grow into something meaningful. We also talked to a local veteran who has created a business that helps other senior veterans to age safely at home. Fox 11 News In Depth starts right now. Hello, everyone. I'm Hal Eisner, and this is Fox 11 News In Depth. This week, we're devoting this show to those who are veterans, to those who have stood in service to our country, and veterans military personnel. Whether those veterans have been in combat, whether they haven't been, they may need a little extra care and consideration when it comes to reintegrating into civilian life. That's where the Shea Center in Orange County comes in. The nonprofit uses equine assistant therapy to help individuals overcome the physical and emotional and psychological challenges they may be dealing with. One of the groups they focus on is veterans, and joining us right now to talk about that is from the Shea Center, the manager, Randy Shanahan, and certified therapeutic riding instructor, Sarah Booth. And good to see both of you. And Randy, why don't you kick this off for us and tell us a little bit about the Shea Center. And it's been around for 50 years just about, huh?
It has, yes.
Tell me about it.
We have many programs that aim towards improving the lives of individuals with disabilities, not just veterans, but they can include therapy. We have physical therapy, occupational therapy, and speech-language pathology. We have mental health services, like you mentioned. We also have adapted riding, focusing on the recreational benefits of learning how to ride a horse, as well as equine-assisted learning, focused on improving life skills.
I think the thing that sounds interesting about this is the fact you use horses. And that makes it a little different than other therapy services. First of all, how did this start? And tell me how the horses kind of came into play here.
Sure. It started 46 years ago with a couple, the Lewis family, and they had a son that had cerebral palsy. And so they started with one horse, their son, and a social worker named Fran Joswick. Mm-hmm. And it has turned into serving almost 1,500 clients a year and a operating budget of over $7 million.
Tell me a little bit about the clientele down there. If I were there and I haven't been there, what that would look like?
We have 65% roughly of our clients that are 17 years old or under, but they look many different ways. Autism is our number one diagnosis, followed closely by cerebral palsy, then PTSD.
How do horses come into play on those?
The horse is a magical element to this all, really.
I would think so.
The movement alone of the horse is something that I, as a physical therapist, utilize as my treatment tool, really, the modality. The movement of the horse simulates the same movement as the human while walking. So we are improving the connections, the neurological connections of the brain to the muscles. It improves postural control, balance, strength. Overall, this type of therapy, the movement and the way it can get in and activate the sensory systems is unlike any other treatment known. No equipment in medicine or therapy can mimic this effect.
You know, I think probably all of us have had physical therapy at some point or another in our lives. I don't think, though, I've ever thought of it with horses. And so, you know, as an instructor, what exactly do you do?
As a therapist, I utilize the movement of the horse, both the momentum changes and the direction changes, to get a response in my client. We talk about the person involved having a neurological system that isn't fully working to capacity, and this is our way of stimulating that and actually borrowing from the horse's neurological system. Every step the horse takes, it sends a ground reaction force up to the human, and this will create a response in the neuromotor system.
That's so interesting. I mean, we're looking at horses right here. That is the Shea Center. And Sarah, why don't you tell us a little bit about it? I mean, are these folks getting therapy right now? Is that what's going on?
Well, and that's interesting. That's a confusing term in our world. We call it equine-assisted services because we offer therapies and adaptive riding and horsemanship.
Equine means horse.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And what's great about the horse is you can use them in multiple ways. For a lot of what you're seeing now is our veterans program, and they have a calming influence on people. The electromagnetic field of them, they can feel your heartbeat within 4 to 8 feet.
Really?
Yeah. And so they have a calming effect. Also, our veterans have an easier time associating with them. Horses are a prey animal, so they're already in hypervigilance, and that's the essence of PTSD. So they can understand each other in a way that, you know, somebody who has not experienced that.
You know, from the time you're little and you have pony rides going around a loop, to the time you get older and you might be doing something like this, there is a special relationship with horses, particularly. What is it about horses and humans?
Well, they're herding animals. They're very social. They want to be with us, so if you can create that bond, you can have a great relationship where they're very honest. You can't lie to a horse, and that's why they're so good in therapies, because we can be incongruent as human beings. We can say, I'm fine when I'm not fine, but a horse will say, I can tell you're not fine, and they won't, you know, join up with
that. I never really thought about that. I mean, I think more about dogs being able to do that than a horse, but it's very similar in that way.
Absolutely. The therapeutic benefits of the horse has been documented as early as 400 BCE. So this relationship has stood thousands of years.
It's amazing. You know, we only have about a minute left, but I did want to ask about how you work with firefighters and law enforcement. How does that work?
Yeah, we just finished a family program for our first responders this past weekend, where we had them over for a day of fun to give them a break after all they'd been through. But we also have a training that happens annually every year with OCFA, which is Orange County Firefighters, where we do in partnership with them to help train. They have a large animal rescue, and we help them train what it's like to handle horses. So when they do have to rescue large animals, they have the experience and to be able to handle it safely.
That's great. How can people support you?
People can support us in so many different ways just by engaging with us on social. They can come volunteer with us. We have so many of our program funds are from the gifts of our community. Every dollar counts. They can come find us and donate whatever they can, their time or their treasures.
All right. Thank you very much for being with us. Randy Shanahan and Sarah Booth. And for more information, you can go to shaecenter.org. I got that right?
Yes.
And learn more. And coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth, many veterans have challenges to overcome, whether it's PTSD or food insecurity or just simply loneliness. A helping hand can make all the difference. But in one case, that helping hand is digging in the dirt. We'll explain right after this. Don't go away. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Fox 11 News In Depth. It would be tough to deny the healing power of fresh food and fresh air. And right here in West LA, the VA has partnered with UCLA to bring veterans the benefit of both. Fundraising is underway to expand the Veterans Garden, a 15-acre farm where veterans can grow and harvest nutritious produce for themselves, their families, and other veterans, and enjoy the therapeutic properties of helping things grow as well. Joining us right now, Dr. Caitlin Fruin with UCLA Health Preventive Medicine and Navy veteran Greg Cleghorn. In addition to being a VA patient who participates in gardening classes, Greg is one of the veteran co-chairs of the Veterans Garden. He's also written a book called
Operation Homecoming.
Operation Homecoming. And, you know, I guess there's so many questions here to talk about with regard to the garden and veterans. And so, Dr. Fruin, tell me a little bit about the genesis of this garden that we're talking about.
Yeah, so the Veterans Garden is a 15-acre garden, the largest farm on a medical campus in the nation, and it actually was started back in the 60s, and for many years, it was a successful work therapy program for veterans, with thousands of Vietnam and Korean War veterans finding healing through the garden.
And we're looking at some of the nurturing of some of the things that are in the garden?
Yes. This is actually on the VA, the West Los Angeles VA campus.
Got it, okay.
On the Medical Center campus. And it's a clinical space for veterans to find healing through agriculture. And we'll also be growing produce for more than 1,000 veterans once fully planted.
Yeah, there's a lot of growth going on over there right now with housing and so forth. And Greg, how did you get involved in this?
I've always enjoyed gardening. And I was working actually in the Japanese garden, and I went to a function for the vet's garden, and I was kind of blown away by the space and the potential of the area to produce food that can serve a purpose. You know, there's a need for good produce to decline or decrease the like food insecurity and the suicide rate among veterans.
You know, there are a lot of people who love gardening. I mean, there's just something about the peace and the calm of gardening. So, you know, why is it that vets would need this?
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, veterans experience mental illness at higher rates than the general population. About 40% of veterans have mental illness. And unfortunately, only about half of veterans with mental illness are getting care for that. So, our colleagues at the Bronx VA working with the New York Botanic Garden have found that through their agricultural programming, veterans have lower rates of distress, lower rates of loneliness, which is a really important health indicator, and lower rates of depression.
We've talked a lot about food insecurity on this program in all kinds of lanes. To what extent do you see that being an issue for veterans?
You know, unfortunately, it's a very big issue, especially for our veterans experiencing homelessness, and we have the largest population of vets experiencing homelessness. And so, as we have thousands of veterans moving to campus, this is going to be a great resource because they'll have access to the nutritious food that's the foundation of life.
What is the VA's role in this?
So the VA manages the garden. It's run by the VA's Whole Health Program, but we really need support from the broader community to bring the garden back because it used to be fully planted, the whole 15 acres, and right now it's only the front acre. So, you know, in medicine, we have to really be thinking about why can we prescribe a medication for every disease, but yet the nutrient-dense foods that patients need to prevent and treat disease, I can't just write a prescription for that. So we have to really be thinking about how do we have a farm at every health center, just the way we have a pharmacy.
So is that to suggest that this garden needs some medication, needs some help?
Yeah, we definitely welcome volunteers. Our next volunteer day is going to be Saturday, December 7th from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Volunteers who want to come during the week, they can reach out to us at our website. And then we're also fundraising to have a garden manager to really get this garden blossoming.
Greg, yes, sir. Do you do fundraising for this?
I'm helping Dr.
with
Fruin.
That. Yes, sir. You know, what is it that you find that's helpful in trying to encourage people to get involved?
I found first just letting them know it was there. You know, there was such a information gap that a lot of people that I talked to didn't know it was there, enjoy farming, and would love to, participate, and have said that they would be happy to come up for the next volunteer day. So hopefully they'll stay, because we need the community to get involved. And we need
how much time have you spent in the garden?
Religiously,
come on, take a wild guess.
Tens of hours. It's addictive. You know, it's when you start, especially when you get the harvest and you see the fruits of your labor.
Does it open up the endorphins or something?
Oh, yeah.
And you sort of.
Oh yeah. There's definitely a joy in getting your hands dirty.
So doctor, the benefits go beyond just fresh produce and food insecurity. It's also food for the soul.
Yeah, we really talk about three things: the access to nutritious produce for our veterans with food insecurity, the mental health component of being able to heal in nature and in community, and third, we are going to be working on having a job training program so veterans interested in transitioning to agricultural careers can access that too.
You talked a little bit about the fundraising efforts, and I'm sure there's this website that you have as well. What is the website?
It's vet vetgardenla.org.
And what will people find on vetgardenla.org?
You'll see a blog area where we have stories from our veterans and the history. There's a page where you can donate, a page with all of our different media appearances, and really just more information about why.
Media appearances, so I'll be on there too?
Hopefully. You're the star. Wow. You're the star.
All right. Well, anything you want to say to veterans out there who might want to come out and see the garden?
Great. Go for it.
Well, the Army says, you know, let's do it. Nike says, let's do it. Let's, you know, get involved and help us bring this vital area back to life.
All right. Very good. Thank you both very much. And coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth, we talked to a Vietnam veteran whose career path led him to a company that can help other veterans stay in their homes as they age or become disabled. We'll be right back. We're back now on Fox 11 News In Depth with a story of another veteran. Larry Anthony, a U.S. military veteran of the Vietnam War, owns Right at Home. That's an in-home senior care business in West L.A. Larry, good to see you. Thanks for being with us. And tell us a little bit about Right at Home.
Thank you, Al. My journey began about 12 years ago after I had taken care of my folks, hiring and firing people that got into my business. And learning about it from a hands-on basis as a consumer, it prepared me that much more for being a provider.
Caretaking. That's really what it is, right?
Exactly. Caregivers, caretaking.
And how did you get this off the ground? I mean, even beginning something that sounds simple isn't very simple.
It's more than you'd think. You start sizing up your territory and the opportunities and where you want to start. And the franchise that I'm part of helped me with that a great deal. The training got me ready for it. So I hit the ground running to some extent, but still you've got to get out and meet people, cultivate relationships, and find people who will refer folks.
But what was it? I mean, you were in the service, so you have that sense of what's needed coming out of the service. But
sure.
Was there a particular incident or a particular instance that caused you to say, we got to do something here?
Well, it was seeing the way things were turning out, and I had friends that were having bad, shall we say, experiences. We all get to a point where, having been children with parents, we became the parent, and now they're the children. And this is when care comes in and caring for the elder.
I want to talk a little bit about something that I experienced this past week on Veterans Day. Mm-hmm. There's an American Legion post in Palos Verdes, and some of their folks have started doing something about trying to change the perception of veterans.
Uh-huh.
Their feeling is that veterans are viewed often, especially by younger people, as people who have PTSD or people that are wounded warriors. And so when it comes to hiring or things like that, an employer might not be so quick to want to hire because they think, oh, this guy's probably got PTSD. That could be a problem for me. Sure. And my business. You share that feeling?
No. I think what we have to do is evaluate the individual and don't have preconceived notions. This is what can be limiting. A lot of people my age and younger who have served in various places bring a lot to the table, either because they were trained or they took advantage of what they learned, and that's my story.
Yeah, but I think what's happening is, though, that American Legion post is trying to deal with preconceived notions of what veterans have as an experience. Mm-hmm. And trying to change through media and through other forms of communication how people view the veteran that has returned to this country.
Right, and these are the positive spin that you'd like to achieve that can result in better outcomes.
And I think that's what they're doing, but is there a but after that?
Well, it's the audience, the intended, you know, recipient of the news, how they're going to perceive it, how their minds will change, or they'll accommodate something, if nothing but more but to try.
And that whole idea of perception, do people generally think of somebody who's been in the military as somebody who probably has PTSD?
It depends on what TV show you're watching or what periodical you're reading.
Well, that's the media thing that they're trying to
combat. It is, and it depends on who's presenting it and what angle they may have. I think if people listen and form their own opinions based on a broader scope of knowledge of listening and exposing themselves to things, this is where breaks can occur. This is where understandings can be met. And there's nothing better than to meet the person face to face.
Are things like your program necessary as we have an aging population in the military?
It is. It's not just in the military, of course. I have a veterans outreach program that's part of our agency. Mm-hmm. The VA downtown, the VA on the west side, and there's one in the San Fernando Valley that we serve. And we're given hundreds of hours a week by the VA to take care of aging vets.
But, you know, and we talk about this a lot on the news about veterans who are homeless, mm-hmm. and veterans who don't have a roof over their head. And sometimes veterans who don't want to get into a program to put a roof over their head. And so aren't these things all complications in trying to help people by having programs to help you at home when you don't have a home?
They are. And this is where we reach out and try to find solutions for the underserved, the down and outers, the people who may not have the inclination to try or have given up. And this is where professional care, where licensed care, where a concerned owner can take a role in improving things.
We have less than a minute left. What's the most important thing you've learned coming out of this experience of helping people age at home?
I get to make a difference every day. We've taken care of upwards of 1,500 people since I started doing this. And the overriding thing that gets me up every day and gets me on the job is the rewards I see for the efforts I've had and the people who work for us.
Very good. Larry Anthony, thanks so much. Your website is rightathome.net.
Yes.
All right, thanks for joining us.
Hal, thank you.
Hang on for just a second, and Fox 11 News in Depth will continue right after this break. Don't go away. And finally, if you want to hear an audio version of this program, check out my podcast. It's called What the Hal, and it's available wherever you subscribe to podcasts, or just go to whatthehalpodcast.com. That's it for this week's Fox 11 News In Depth. Thanks for joining us, everyone. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.